This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, it's called How to Build a Telescope, is that correct?
True.
And who came up with that name?
That was Chris.
Yeah, it's...
See, I would have thought it was Mitch, because I know you got a bit of a scientific background.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, well, it's meant to be a weird name anyway, but it's also because a lot of the album is about how the world could be done better, how we could do life better. And it's just sort of offering a bit of hope, a bit of a different option. If you look in your telescope and build one and look in it, you'll see another option somewhere else that could be better.
Yeah, but the telescope's inside you.
Yeah, we all carry a telescope.
Yeah.
Oh, deep.
Yeah.
Mitch, because you are a scientist, does one actually build a telescope?
I've made one before, and that I just realized then when you asked me that I've made one.
yeah. Memorable, hey?
Yeah, you need two lenses. That's what I remember. You need an objective lens, which is convex, and then you need an eyepiece, which is concave. Mm-hmm. And the two lenses bend the light in such a way as to magnify what you're looking at. And you too can make a telescope with such materials.
It's all right, you don't have to go into much detail. But I'm actually curious to see, to ask why there's actually not a subtitle track on the album. Why is there not a How to Build a Telescope track?
Well, it's because the answer lies in the album as a whole.
Okay.
And if you listen to the whole album, we believe you will have a bit more of an idea of how to build such a telescope.
And as you said before, there's obviously a deeper meaning there, not actually building a telescope.
Yeah, not one that just looks at stars, but better places than stars.
Mm, very nice. Okay, well, we're up to track three from your latest album, How to Build a Telescope. After All, thoughts?
After All is the one song that we wrote in Canada while making the album.
Right.
The rest we took over with us. But this song just came out as like a cool sound, and then the lyrics were just about some frustrations that I was going through in dealing with the producer, which I guess is just a cool rock and roll thing for every band to sing about. But but it was just a there's always going to be creative conflicts. And
I remember last interview you were saying something about how that it was just a bit too polished for you, maybe.
Yeah. Mm. I think at the time, like when we came back, we realized that, and I was probably in this moment of writing After All, there was a similar argument going on. But since then, we've sort of got our little grubby fingers on it and dirtied it up a little bit to what the Americans did.
We sent it back. We did a couple of...
the Americans or Canadians?
Oh, both.
All right.
They're all Americans.
Yeah, we worked with Americans in Canada, I suppose, is the short answer. But we did send a couple back to remix and redo with some different parts. And generally, our ears wanted to hear a bit more dirty and their ears wanted to hear a bit more clean.
Mm.
And then After All is Chris. The straw that broke the camel's back was really when I put balsamic vinegar in the spaghetti bolognese. So we'd be cooking dinner in Canada.
My veggies. I was doing like full-on fresh veggies, hardly any oil even, just when you can get them. Just that the juices are in the vegetables themselves.
Right.
And as I was succeeding, Mitch came over my shoulder and dumped this huge wad of balsamic vinegar in my veggies. And that was the end.
Yeah, it tasted good.
There came After All.
Wow.
I think one of my first Black Stump festivals.
Yeah.
I was pretty into it, but I walked into Big Top as Anaskeptic with just firing up. And it was like my first Christian festival experience.
Do you know what's going on with the guys?
I think he's doing his solo stuff.
Yeah, I've heard Andrew's getting up to some... don't ask how I know this. He's getting up to all kinds of backyard blitzing of his own backyard.
Wow.
And that's just great. It made me think that I should do that too.
How is your backyard looking?
It's good.
He's got a pineapple growing in his backyard. Mitch does.
Really?
I do. I've got if you plant the top of a pineapple and cut, eat the pineapple and then plant the top part... It grows, and then after a couple of years, you get a new pineapple.
Wow.
It's true.
Really?
I'm not lying about that.
It's growing. It's definitely growing.
What are you lying about, though?
No, that's true. I've had two pineapples, and they're only little, but they're tasty because all the taste gets concentrated into this tiny pineapple.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Try it.
Well, I can't believe we talked about baking bread. Pineapples,
veggies,
balsamic vinegar. It's a cooking show. But, MasterChef is all the rage at the moment, so we just combining a bit of that as well. Not bad. You were talking about before about Canada and recording. When did you actually record that album? Was it a few years ago now?
Three.
Yeah, 2000.
We were there.
Yeah, that's true. 2007 to the week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it a bit draining, the fact that it has been so long until you've got this album out?
Definitely. Very. It went through different avenues of how it was going to be released, and some of them were frustrating.
Yeah.
And we actually all just took a little bit of a breather last year. And then this year, Mitch woke up and sent me a message going, let's put the album out. And so we got to work, and it's out.
Very nice. Well, we're up to track four, Wasting Time. Thoughts on this track?
That is so linked to what you were just talking about. The song Wasting Time is about how long sometimes it feels like taking for anything to get done, and feeling like sometimes you're going nowhere. Especially when you do a bad gig, you sort of look back to all the years and go, what was that for, you know? Mm. And that's what this song comes out of.
Or a good gig, but no one's listening kind of thing, almost. You know, those gigs where you just feel like, oh, I want, you know, is anyone listening?
Yeah.
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 I thought this song was written just before we went over there. So already back then, 3 years ago, it felt like we'd been doing it a while.
Yeah.
And that's what this song's about.
I was just thinking about those gigs where there's a crowd, but they're how can you say, they're busy drinking.
And
we've played those gigs, you know, in unis and stuff, and it's fine.
Yeah, your background.
Yeah, but I suppose the beauty of it is you don't know, you know, how people do listen and what they will walk away having thought about and stuff like that. So that's more of a rhetorical question.
Did you see them the other night?
We didn't get to see them this time.
No, I was at the Spandau Ballet gig. No, I wasn't really.
I was going to say, how was that?
Oh, that would have been really cool. But no, I was actually not there.
As a keys player, do you get a lot of influence from the 80s synth players and that kind of thing?
Not consciously, but I'm pretty sure I would have heard a lot of that on the radio when I was alive in the 80s, which is a weird feeling.
Where were you not alive in the 80s?
Yeah. 1980 through to 1984.
Oh, good.
Was pre-Mitch. Yeah, I suppose I do. I think I haven't consciously decided to sound like an 80s keyboard player ever, but I think subconsciously, if I want to feel like there's an 80s keyboard player in the band, then I think I can channel that somehow.
He pretty much wants to sound like a good keyboard player.
And right.
They were all alive in the 80s, I reckon.
That was the era of keyboard players.
Absolutely.
You know, that was... I remember my first keyboard player impression. I was talking to Chris about it before. It was on Sesame Street, you know, and the band would be the Muppets kind of dudes all playing their instruments. And the keyboard that he played was covered in sparkles, and you couldn't see the other side of it, like what it was, and his hands were just being held up by strings. But it was such a sparkly keyboard, like a real 70s kind of sparkle, and I liked that. I think that might have subconsciously gone into my head and made me want to be a keyboard player.
Have you ever thought to put some sparkles on your current keyboard?
Now I have, yeah.
You definitely thought about that.
Yeah, I've been shopping for sparkles.
Wow.
Yeah.
And do you ever get your hands that high as the puppets did?
Yes.
Definitely. Definitely. The first keyboard Mitch ever played, we actually stole from our church's storeroom.
Oh, really?
And it was altered fair amounts that the old ladies at church knew about it.
Yeah.
So I reckon we should experiment with that one with sparkles.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Very nice. Will you give it back with sparkles as well?
Well, that keyboard's gone back as far as I know, and the old ladies just don't know what sounds are coming out of it now.
Yeah. Oh, very good.
Carmen's in the morning chair.
Yeah, that's right.
How are you feeling about the album as a whole? It's been 3 years in the making, kind of thing like that. Do you think it was an enjoyable process and that you'll do it again soon, or will you think you'll have another 3-year gap till the next album?
If people want to hear more songs... we have more songs.
All right.
Yeah, but we'd probably go about it differently this time.
Yeah. Fast is good because then you don't have time to change your mind about things. and I don't know, stagnate, I suppose.
Yeah, we've learned things 3 years down the track, so it would be a different process and a different record.
Yeah.
But the album the way we feel about this one is it's a great... But like, we're really proud of it as what we've made, and the songs are from the last 5 years, pretty much all the songs on the record. We like the Winnie Coopers.
I just love the name. I mean, yeah. I do love the band, but the name is just too cool.
For yeah. those of us who go back to that time when the Wonder Years was on TV.
Are you trying to say I'm old?
No.
I did actually, I have to admit, one of the guys in production, I mentioned that the other day, like, oh, what a cool name. And he kind of had this blank look on his face. And I'm like, what do you mean, the Wonder Years? You don't know the Wonder Years?
Uh-oh.
Who doesn't know the Wonder Years?
That used to be when I got home from school kind of thing, you know, maybe, I think it was on telly, maybe 4:30, that kind of, when you make noodles and watch The Wonder Years.
Well, I always saw the closing credits. I think it was earlier than that.
Maybe it was, yeah.
Yeah, I was like Joe Cocker's version of Little Help from My Friends. Mm. I think he does such a good job.
Yeah.
And then you hear the Beatles version and you're like, Ringo Starr, please.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
If you don't think so, then call in now.
Exactly.
Hello, Hope Radio.
Actually, it's lucky our bass player isn't here. He would have stood up for anything Beatles.
Look, yeah. I know, I love the Beatles, but let's face it, Ringo really couldn't sing that great.
No.
He had character, but, you know, when Joe Cocker sings it, it's an amazing song, becomes an amazing song.
Joe Cocker dances maybe like Ringo sings.
Full stop.
The end.
Hey, is there a member in your group who is shocking when it comes to, like, singing?
No.
So you all give it a go, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You should hear our car trips going up to Queensland.
Really?
As soon as anyone's favourite song goes on, they sing. No questions. And you could record that and put that on a record.
Mm. Really?
I think we did.
Marcus sings the greatest 80s rock band.
Does he? What would his song of choice be?
Def Leppard, maybe.
Oh, really?
Marcus likes a good bit of glam rock.
Yeah, glam rock.
Wow.
He can sing higher, that boy.
Yeah. Really?
Marcus can.
Falsetto,
we've heard him sing. We heard him sing. He has sung, and we've heard him sing.
Chris, you were just saying before that, this, you know, you watched a lot of DC Talk back in the day.
Mm.
And you said it was
That had the Jesus Freak live DVD.
Right.
And it was my first live DVD I ever had.
Really?
Yeah. And I just loved it. It was just big rock concert.
Yeah.
I guess I hadn't watched many back then when I was little, so it was mind-blowing.
Mm. Do you still listen to guys like Toby Mac and that kind of thing, or is that a bit not really your thing?
I don't buy it, but I hear it on this radio station a fair bit. I like it, yeah.
Cool.
No, he's good. And, oh, actually, because you know Michael Tate is actually singing Newsboys now.
Mm.
And we didn't know this, and we were up in Toowoomba, and I got so excited, and so I was standing there watching Michael Tate sing some DC Talk songs because he did them.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things I never thought I'd get to see.
And what did you think?
He was excellent. Absolutely excellent.
Yeah.
Really good. I liked those songs the best.
Yeah.
In that set.
Well, you guys have a lot of movement. I was just thinking in terms of Michael Tate on stage. You know, he really works the stage as you guys do. Was that something you always were comfortable with in terms of, you know, just moving when playing and that kind of thing?
I think if we liked what we were doing, we'd get excited and move.
Mm.
And so if we're moving, it means we're enjoying it.
Yeah.
I think Marcus has a bit more choreographed moves.
Does he?
Yes, absolutely.
Do they have names, these moves?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's the names that we give them. And then there's the names that he calls them. He does stretches before gigs.
Really?
If that gives you any indication of the kinds of moves.
So one must be flexible.
He is flexible. And then after gigs, he has a sore back.
Oh,
we had a sore neck in Queensland the other week.
Oh.
Yeah. Went a bit too far backwards, I think.
Yep.
So if you guys think if you make it a little bit higher up, you know, more money starts rolling in, do you think you'd have a chiropractor on the road with you?
Mm.
If we wanted to keep a guitarist, that would be a wise thing.
Yeah, he's got a chiropractor, but we haven't needed one so far. But it's definitely a possibility.
Okay. Chris, do you write most of the lyrics?
Yes.
When hearing someone like John Foreman, do you kind of admire that style of lyricism?
The style, yeah. Yeah. He sings about big things.
Mm.
For sure.
He uses words like I can never say it, existentialism.
Yep, and he sings entropy.
Entropy.
A lot. Entropy and pain. You could count them up, kids.
Mm.
Broken and
broken,
breaking.
Broken pain of entropy and youth and pain.
Yeah, and the youth.
And entropy.
And pain.
Nah, seriously, there's probably three entropies in his songs. And broken is everywhere.
Yeah, He's just what he feels, I think, and he just goes for it and tries to express what makes him get fired up if it's that kind of song. And I love the way he writes. Mm. I think it's just so honest and it's so what he's feeling.
Mm.
How does the lyric process of your songs actually work? Like, how does that all evolve?
It's normally once there's a vibe already, like a feeling. Because for me, the music generally comes first.
Right.
Especially with these songs on this record. And it's like something that sounds good and feels good. And then normally the feeling, out of that feeling comes a theme, and out of that theme comes lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And Mitch will tell you that normally the second verse of a song will come 2 years later, and I'll just sing the first verse all the time.
Well, sometimes not at all in the case of one or two songs.
Yeah.
But that's cool as well. Some of the songs that make me feel and just really resonate with me the most are those songs where there's a bit of repetition in the lyrics and it almost like a chant, you know, and then it stops being about the particular words and starts being about what's behind the words.
Mm.
So that's cool as well.
Yeah, a bit of trivia. The song we just heard of ours, Over and Again.
Mm-hmm.
That is the song on the record that the second verse is exact the same as the first verse.
Yeah.
Could get better, but it's going to get worse. No. Sorry, that's just it. Remember that one?
What was that?
Don't you remember that same song, second verse, could get better, but it's going to... It was the song that never ends.
Yeah.
You used to sing it in between that.
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't actually mean that about that song, but I just thought I'd throw it in there. Lamb Chop, sing along. This is the song that doesn't.
Lamb Chop.
Again, I feel there's people out there going,
it's more food.
What's Lamb Chop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just food.
What
kids.
I have for dinner. Again, back to food. I'm starving now. You were saying, obviously, that you're upset that Plagiarise have parted ways.
Well, from a selfish perspective, I guess I'll just miss out on hearing more music from them. But for the guys, I don't think it's a sad thing at all. I think
we're lucky enough to do a lot of shows with those guys and got to really love their songs.
Yeah.
Well, you were saying earlier that you've been stealing guitarists, so maybe I was thinking maybe you stole George.
Well, you never know. Maybe that's the next, announcement.
We don't have a left-handed guitarist in our band yet.
Well.
We need the Beatles kind of symmetry.
Mm.
I think...
Actually, you're right. Beatles did have a symmetry because of Paul.
Yeah, the guitar heads pointed towards each other.
Yeah, and the other cool thing about Plagiarise is they're kind of next to us on your iPod. So you can kind of just,
PL.
Click from one to the other.
So true.
Yeah.
I love it. I have a memory of your keys. They were gaffer taped. Is that correct?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Has
that been repaired or?
I kind of, the thing is I used to gaffer tape on this Glockenspiel that I played with and, at the end of the gig, I'd just rip the gaffer tape off and stick it somewhere on the back of the keyboard. So I think it just builds and I never really get rid of it. There was a couple of times when I was playing keyboards where me and Chris would look at the brand of the keyboard,
yes.
Be it maybe Roland or, I don't know, Yamaha or Kawai or...
Korg.
Or whatever. You know how they write that word on the back of the keyboard that says, I'm so cool, I'm playing a Korg?
Yeah.
And then we would gaffer tape over certain letters to make it spell a new word.
Ah.
So... And if you're thinking of the keyboard that was a Roland, what we did was get some white gaffer tape and make it say...
Ronald.
But
the funniest thing you can do that one is just make it say Poland, because you can do that with one tiny strip.
Yeah.
Poland.
Tiny little bit of black tape.
If you have some white tape, Ronald. If you have some black tape, Poland. Yeah.
One said chicks, I'm sure.
Yeah, we made it was Technics. It was
Technics
a Technics keyboard.
Chicks.
Yeah.
I like. Very creative, guys.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.